Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. Little Steely Dan for you. Thank you for joining us. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I hope you will. I think you'll like it. If you don't, you can unsubscribe. That's all. No, but no harm, no hard feelings, no questions asked, no muss, no fuss. It's easy to get on. It's easy to get off. And I think you'll like it, though, because we work pretty hard to put that out every week, and we're now in our sixth year, well into our sixth year of the newsletter. Every week comes the newsletter comes on Sunday, just like clockwork, after lunch on Sunday, and to kind of get you ready for the week ahead. And that's what our subscribers tell us that it does for them, and we believe them. Don't forget, in addition to the things that I write, that I have on my mind about our small businesses, there are two articles, one longer one and one shorter one. There's also the schedule for the week ahead, who's going to be on the show that week. And so I hope you'll check that out. Bill Hubbard is our guest. He's all over our website, ladies and gentlemen, because we're now in our eighth year of being with our good friend Bill Hubbard and having him to bestow his brilliance and his intelligence and his wisdom and his perspectives and his great business tips that he provides to us every month or so. And Bill is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy and The Medical Privacy Rule. He's our good friend, Bill. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Boy, those sound like awful big shoes to fill.
Well, you can do it, though, Bill. It's good to have you here. It's always a pleasure. Bill, just identity theft is big business, isn't it?
Well, these days, the buzzword is phishing.
Yeah.
They go fishing. It's not with a line and a pole anymore. It's with an email message that looks awful, threatening and foreboding, and you make you feel like, gee, my system has been penetrated or my account has been penetrated, and I better do something about it. And so you get this message that tells you you need to re-verify your information.
Right.
And then you follow these instructions and you go to what.
And it looks really, really accurate and authentic, doesn't it?
It does, and in fact, I saw one.
These are by email, folks. You're getting this information in by email, and it's just where literally it looks like it's coming from your bank. Of course, Bill, one of the tip-offs is when it comes from a bank that you don't do business with. That's a kind of a tip-off, isn't it?
Well, that's true. That was the key that really caught my attention, because I keep getting these messages from some bank that I have nothing to do with. But they sure look like my account's been penetrated, and I better get in there and re-verify my information and put all my details in there.
But, you know, I bet, Bill, I bet there's a lot of people who know they don't do business with that bank, but somehow they say, well, maybe I better fix that.
Yeah.
And they still click on it and go in there and dump all their life's history on them.
Or they have done something in there at one point or another, and they're thinking, gee, I better get back in there and do it. And the thing that really alerts me to it, though, is that I have not put all my data into online financial systems. So that, to me, it's a red flag, because I haven't worked through that process anyway, and they're not going to contact me by email because I've
right.
never given them my email.
Nobody. Here, folks, we've said this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again. I probably have to say it again. Nobody who's legitimate, no company that's legitimate, whether you do business with them or not, no company is going to email you and ask you for personal information.
Very
right, Bill?
Very simply put, that's the key.
And if you're wondering what I just said, what part of no company do you not understand? Because they're just not going to do it.
There's too many issues. The companies are now subject to financial privacy rules and regulations. You've received mailers that identify those issues. And likewise, in the medical community, there's medical privacy issues that impact there. And it's the organizations are much more tuned into what they need to be doing and are certainly making a real effort to protect the privacy information that they hold of each one of their customers. But the thought that part that I want to convey today is that every organization that has data needs to protect that data and needs to alert your own employees to be alert to these kinds of scams so that your own company information is not going to be disclosed to other unauthorized individuals.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, the connection to what you do every day is making sure that our employees know that you know they could be asked for information that doesn't apply to them. They could be doing a real good job of protecting their stuff.
Yes.
But they might not be doing a good job of protecting the company or other employees' stuff.
That's a key point, and that's the part that I really want to kind of emphasize today, because the individuals who are out there looking for this information are getting pretty creative about how they get it, and they can pretend to be a customer, or they can pretend to be an attorney checking up on somebody's legal affairs, or they can pretend to be a bank or a credit investigator or whatever scheme that they might try to put together. And they're going to contact the organization, and they're going to seek to get some type of private information, whether it's on the company or on the company's employees or data that you may have access to as you're processing your business. And they're going to pretend to be something they're not and try to get that information. And, oh, but, well, let's just skip this procedure. This is just one little issue, and I'm in a hurry right now, and you can kind of bend the rules for me, can't you? And this type of thing. And this is what we really need to alert our employees to, that we need to have the precautions in place, the procedures in place, and follow the procedures and verify who we're dealing with and verify that this is an authorized disclosure.
Well, don't we need to have a little meeting with our folks? I mean, I know you would prefer that we have a document in place, and I agree with you. But at a minimum, before we get the document in place, don't we need to just gaggle our people up and say, kind of cover them up one day and say, all right, look, you may be any one of us could be getting a phone call from someone asking about private information about it could come from a hospital. It could sound like it's coming from a hospital, as you said, an attorney or a credit bureau or whatever. They may be calling and asking for that kind of information, and there's only one person in this office who can give that out, and it's Susan or it's me or whoever. And you designate anything like that. Take the pressure off the employees and say, send them to this person, because this person is trained to answer those questions.
That's the key. And they're also trained to ask the right questions to verify who this person is and what the nature of their request is. So that is the key point. Whether it's verbal or whether it's a written procedure, get the message out to your people what process to follow.
It probably needs to be both. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, William Hubbard. That's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. Mr. Marvin Gaye, ladies and gentlemen, the late great Marvin Gaye. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Hubbard is our guest, and he's a big Marvin Gaye fan too, aren't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
It's good to have you here again, Bill, and give us your website, please.
Hubbard.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.com. There's a link there to a second website that is medicalprivacy.info. And that one has additional details that relate to our topic of discussion today. And really the essence of what we're talking about today, a lot of the protective actions that we're talking about are covered in a regulation called the HIPAA Security Rule. And if your organization wants to protect itself from data penetration and data theft and everything that goes with that, get a copy of information relating to the HIPAA Security Rule. Implement those procedures even if you're not covered by the regulation, and it gives you state-of-the-art protection to your data system.
And now the HIPAA privacy went into effect 2 years ago.
Yes.
HIPAA security goes into effect today, doesn't it?
Next week, the 20th.
I knew it was in the month of April. I was thinking it coincided with the tax date. But anyway, this is good information, folks. You know, Bill, I think a lot of people are listening are thinking, well, you know, this doesn't apply to me. What are the chances this could happen to me, et cetera, et cetera? Well, folks, when you drove to school, when you drove to work today, did you buckle your seatbelt? That's kind of what this is, isn't it, Bill? I mean, yeah, you're probably not going to have a wreck, but it could happen to you. And so, you know, you need to pay attention to this. Bill, I was wondering about something. Oh, by the way, another thing I think small business owners, a lot of them are thinking right now is nobody would try to penetrate my information because they'd find out I was already, they'd find out I was maxed out and they'd take off.
They're in for a surprise.
That's right, because it is you know, as you know, Bill, it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business. So most of us are probably not great choices for the crooks. But Bill, what I was thinking was something, and I don't know if they get into this kind of individual approach as much as they do the mass media type of approach. But I was wondering if maybe somebody would get a phone call, a receptionist would get a phone call, and the person would say, yes, this is Bill Johnson with the you know, the local hospital, and I'm trying to clear up some information on a medical record that, and I wonder if you could help me. Can you give me so and so's social security number? Make sure I can verify that and that sort of thing. You think they would ever get down into that kind of individual attack?
Well, I think it's possible. It certainly is possible, and because there's so many different ways that these things are occurring, really the message today is to be alert to these possibilities and to orient employees and train employees to recognize them and then to be able to respond appropriately when it occurs. And one way to do that is to have an incident procedure and document these incidents, turn them into the supervisor or the owner, and then investigate to make sure that the request is legitimate, that if it is legitimate, then honor it. If it's not, then you have a basis to not deal with it or to turn it over to authorities.
You know, Bill, something happened to me last week, and I'll just tell us a little story to give people an idea about how to hear a red flag. I got a phone call last week out of the blue from somebody I didn't know, said they were with the government, and they wanted my social security number, but they were relating it to me being in Washington next week after next, which I will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and this is a security, she said it was a security follow-up. Well, I wasn't sure, because I didn't know who this was, I wasn't sure that it was legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked her if I could call her back. And she immediately said, oh, yes, absolutely. And I thought, okay, that's a good sign. And then I said, give me the phone number. She gave me the phone number. I recognized the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
It was from an office of in Washington that I know. And so I just put her on hold and came back and gave her the information because I was able to determine she was legitimate. But before she said those things to me, I wasn't sure who she was.
I would agree with you. I would certainly raise a red flag if somebody calls me asking for my social security number.
But that happens. I mean, here's the thing to remember, but we have to remember these mass media things, the email thing, that's an organized effort. But
yes,
people who do this individually, and there are a lot of people who do, Bill, a lot of crooks out there who all they need is one at a time.
Yes.
They get one identity and they live off of that for 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, and until somebody catches it, and that sometimes that can be a significant time period.
Phishing comes in a lot of forms, doesn't it?
Dumpster diving is another example.
Yeah.
The stuff that you throw out in your garbage, you better
right.
make sure that you're shredding anything that's financial or personal.
Bill, help us, in the minute we got left, help us understand how to create the document for this.
I have sample forms on the material that I've created with the HIPAA security rule. The key issues is to identify, first train the employees in terms of what issues to watch for, have a reporting form that if they do encounter something that they can document the information and put the details down so that you can investigate it.
But all this information is in your HIPAA security product, right?
Yes, it is.
And that's, tell us where we can get that, please.
At medicalprivacy.info, and the publication is called The HIPAA Security Rule, A Guide for Employers and Healthcare Providers. It's on CD, and it has a whole host of computer and security guidelines for you to follow.
It's a good investment, folks. It's well done, too. Anything Bill does is top shelf. That's medicalprivacy.info?
Yes.
Thanks, Bill. Or Hubbert, 2Bs, 2Ts.com. Thank you, Bill.
I'll
see you next time.
Here.
Quick break, right back with another Bill. Bill Dunkelberg, after these messages. Stay with us, please.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.